freak out. The world is spinning out of control, and I am the only man with sanity. Because you see, nobody likes a hypocrite in this world. In all of Cleveland and all of Miami, you have been outed as hypocrites, and the Macho Man Randy Savage never was a hypocrite. Neither is CM Punk. And the world keeps on turning, Chris Walder, and I am here to talk some professional wrestling. Are you ready?
Well, of course I'm ready, but also, I know for a fact that Macho Man Randy Savage would never leave the sunshine and beaches of South Beach.
Well, no, he actually lived in Sarasota, Florida, to be quite honest.
Mm-hmm.
So, he never left Florida. It's true. So, as we kind of alluded to off the top, there has been a bit of a story that goes outside of the wrestling world, but thanks to brilliant people, has been connected to the wrestling world, which allows us to talk for a little bit about the fact that LeBron James is heading back to Cleveland, the home of The Miz, Dolph Ziggler, Johnny Manziel, and that's all I got for Cleveland. Who else is from Cleveland? Oh, Jerry Lawler claims to be from Cleveland sometimes.
Yeah, he does claim, but now we're going to probably see Dolph Ziggler get a major push, maybe even The Miz, because of this. It's newsworthy.
Come on now. We really don't believe that, do we?
No, we don't, but it would be nice to think about it for a couple of seconds.
But the obvious wrestling tie-in, and if you haven't seen it, go check out on at Condo on the Moon. I posted this, and many people will remember. It actually came up in our interview with Matt Taven weeks ago, so if you want to go back in the archives, check out our interview with Matt Taven from Ring of Honor. We talked about the famous viral video when LeBron James first left and made the decision to go to Miami, and the viral video of Hulk Hogan turning his back on wrestling fans and becoming Hollywood Hulk Hogan, where they parodied that with LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade came out. And I saw, not long after this news broke out, another wrestling parody where LeBron James is Seth Rollins and lays the chair to the back of Dwayne Wade while Chris Bosh watches on and does nothing. Great for the Shield, obviously. If this goes viral, this is a big thing for them. If this video gets as viral as that other video did, because everyone was talking about that video when it came out. So, if anything, the real beneficiaries from LeBron James leaving Miami to Cleveland could be the Shield.
Well, here's the thing. When the Shield splits, all three of them are going to have success on their own. But in the case of the big three of Miami, LeBron's probably going to take Cleveland to the promised land. Chris Bosh is probably going to head over to Houston, join Dwight Howard and James Harden. But what does that leave Dwayne Wade?
It leaves him as The Miz.
It leaves him as everyone's favorite meme from now until the season starts.
Yeah, he's kind of in a bad spot. He is in the he's not getting pushed anymore down there in Miami in the NBA.
Man, you're right.
More and more, like, we both frequent the world of the NBA and WWE. You sticking more with the NBA than I have, but my oh my. Sometimes I wonder who is booking this NBA promotion. They are really geniuses.
LeBron just made the ultimate face turn.
Yeah, and you know what surprises me? The acceptance of this 4 years later, after this man was without a doubt the most vilified man in sports. And now I've seen people praising him like he's a hero for coming back to Cleveland after all of this.
Well, it's almost as if he learned his lesson, because back in 2010 he made a big spectacle of his decision, and he went in front of ESPN, millions of people, and he said, you know, I'm taking my talent to South Beach. But 4 years later, he's proven that he can win a championship. He won two, and now he heads back to Cleveland. He did it in a very dignified manner. He did it through Sports Illustrated, wrote a one-page essay saying how he felt about Cleveland, how he wanted to return home and do it for the fans, and it's probably cement his legacy. I'm all for it. I mean, I was personally a hater, quote unquote, of what he did 4 years ago, but now it's all come full circle, and I'm looking forward to it. It makes for some exciting storylines.
So you're one of these hypocrites that Randy was talking about off the top
of
the show.
Yeah, I'm falling under that category, unfortunately.
Terrible, terrible, Chris Wilder. Now, what one begs the question of, if LeBron James can come home, does this mean CM Punk can come home now?
Yeah, let's not hold our breath on that one.
I don't know. I mean, I'm waiting for that to happen today and the internet to totally explode. I think that would be the coup de grace. It was nice knowing you, Twitter. Nice knowing you, internet. When we were on there, it was at Condo on the Moon. You can check us out there if Twitter still, in fact, is a viable device at the time this podcast comes out.
Twitter is going to be around forever. That's where all the major stories are getting broken now, man. Social media, wave of the future.
Oh, have you learned nothing from your free week of the WWE Network, Chris Wilder? Nothing lasts forever.
That's true. And, man, you just reminded me that I'm losing the network in a couple of days. I was in such a good mood, too.
And LeBron has totally distracted me from my obsession with the WWE Network. So he still is a heel.
It's the power of the prodigal son.
Let's get into wrestling full bore here, though. One of the things I find interesting, I got in this conversation with someone on the Twitter machine, as I like to call it, because I'm old. But I was talking with someone who is obviously a fan from Europe or somewhere abroad. And the real question I wonder is, when the WWE Network actually legitimately is international, how much will this free week hurt those international numbers? Because I imagine if people were sitting on the fence about doing it by nefarious means, giving them this week where they could figure out a way to get it by nefarious means may only encourage them to go that route. And then the WWE, while the numbers will increase somewhat from offering this free week, will it hurt their international numbers down the line?
That's always a possibility. I can only speak for myself, and of course, you know, through the internet, there's always a way to beat the system. There's always a way to access pay-per-views that you would have to normally pay $50 for through your local television provider. I've enjoyed my time this past week with the WWE Network. I've got to watch a lot of matches and a lot of content that I haven't seen in quite some time, but when it does come to Canada and it does go overseas, whenever that may be, this is probably something that I'm not going to be putting my money down on. The only value I can see in it right now is through the pay-per-views. I mean, everything else you can get through, maybe even just free streams like Dailymotion or YouTube. I can get all of the content there without having to pay for it. So, and then the pay-per-views, of course, nefarious means, you can access it that way. So it kind of explains why the numbers aren't as high as they are at the moment anyway. If you don't like the pay-per-views, then you're just going to be using it for the content, but the content you can get other ways.
Yeah, but it is much easier, and it's much it's a much easier fingers at your fingertips kind of way. If I want to watch a certain event, there's no guarantee I can find it by those nefarious means. I mean, there. One example, one of my favorite matches of all time, and I haven't yet checked it out on the free network, but I probably will now that I'm going to mention it on this podcast. While you're listening, this is probably what I'm watching. It is Trish Stratus's last match at Unforgiven in Toronto, and that used to be easy to find on YouTube and stuff like that, but then it went away and people took it down, and it's not as easy to find that match anymore, and that's the thing. Eventually, you can find stuff. But for the pure convenience of it all, $9.99 a month, that's pretty darn cheap. I mean, it's hard to argue. I mean, heck, I had a great time at Alpha One show. I paid $20 to go to that show. That's more than what I would pay for the WWE Network in a month.
I'm still kind of shocked that the network doesn't have a search system where you can just type in a superstar's name and you can just access a bunch of their matches. Basically, you just have to remember when the match happened, and you have to scroll through all the pay-per-views, which is kind of frustrating.
No, you can do that. I've done a search on wrestlers. Yeah, just go into search. There's a little box, and you type in the wrestler, and it'll come up. Although, I was having some fun with it to try and see how obscure I could go.
Right.
I tried Barry O. No results.
Barry O?
Barry O, who is, for people who don't know, the uncle of Randy Orton, who was a jobber in the wrestling world in the 1980s.
I can't believe you couldn't find him.
I did, however, find Hamilton's own Iron Mike Sharp, though.
Iron Mike Sharp, I'll be damned.
Yes, go search Iron Mike Sharp for some classic matches with Canada's greatest athlete, Iron Mike Sharp. And I told Ethan Page this. He should rekindle that gimmick and become Canada's greatest athlete, because with LeBron James out there, you could do the contrast. When Iron Mike Sharp did it, he compared himself to Wayne Gretzky, which was absurd. But Ethan Page could compare himself to Andrew Wiggins, who is now going full circle, a teammate for the moment of LeBron James.
And let's be honest, LeBron James, he just really wanted to go to Cleveland so he could play with a bunch of Canadian athletes.
That's right, because LeBron clearly loves Canada.
He does.
But the Raptors somehow didn't find a way to sign him. Shame on them. But anyway, we are trying our best to keep it to wrestling on a day where Chris Walder and I are just inclined to be torn to our basketball roots as well. So we'll try and keep it on wrestling. We did start our video podcast last night. That was exciting. Some dummy who was running the show did not know how to work the question and answer feature, so we weren't able to interact with our fans like we wanted to, but I think I've got that figured out for next week. So if you want to tune in every Thursday now, 8 p.m., we will be live on Google Hangout and YouTube, as well as our website at condoonthemoon.com, which will take you to both of those. And you can check out myself and Chris Walder previewing this very podcast and talking whatever else is going on in the wrestling world that we don't get to in this form, our podcast, because sometimes we have guests and we get limited time to talk. So now we have a chance to talk about the things we can't talk about here on Fridays when we have guests, which isn't the case today. We are balls to the wall, hour or so of just me and Walder. But normally, when we have the guests, it's a little challenging, and it's a way for us to interact with our fans. And how you do that, when you get on the Twitter machine, use the hashtag AskMachoMoon, and we will take your questions from both Twitter and live on the feed when we do it. Thursdays, 8 p.m., we will be your lead-in for NXT, and for those few of you that still watch TNA Wrestling, because both of those programs come on at 9 p.m., so we're the lead-in now for those two shows.
We're never going to give TNA any credit, aren't we? Because it's that the product actually hasn't been terrible as of late.
Well, you can, I'm not, but I'm not trying to influence you in any way, Chris Walder. If you want to praise TNA on this podcast or on our new video show, by all means, go ahead.
Well, you're just going off of a previous reputation, which they deserve because they've been awful for so long, but I will say it's going on an upward slope, if ever so slightly.
Well, here's the thing, though, and the reality is this. They can go on the upward slant all they want. We have still not heard from TNA on if they have a new deal in place with Spike TV.
Which is all that matters.
Yes, because instantly Ring of Honor becomes the second biggest company in North America if TNA does not have a deal in place to be on Spike TV.
Either that, or they're just going to have to start streaming Impact through their website, which they have done in the past.
And that would make them significantly less than Ring of Honor, because Sinclair Broadcasting, as much as we complain about the fact they are not in major markets like Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, they are in more markets than TNA without Spike TV and just streaming on the internet.
Absolutely. So TNA, you better get a deal done.
Yeah, I mean, it really is vital to their survival. I think there's no question about that. So what's going on with their product really is the secondary story with that company right now. Until they have a deal in place with Spike TV, it really doesn't matter to me.
Well, last night on Impact, I mean, the product was fairly decent. We have a new X Division champion. They finally took it off Sonata, who I feel like he's held on to that thing forever, never got over as champion, but again, you could say that about a lot of guys in the company.
Who, by the way, just to interrupt you, and this was a big deal when those tapings went down, is booked as the X Division champion to take on the Great Muta in Japan. How that will work, that's for someone else to figure out.
Well, cards are always subject to change, right?
They are, but they're still booking this, to my knowledge, as that, the X Division champion Sonata versus Muta.
Well, I don't know how far the last TNA tapings went. Maybe Sonata wins it back, but right now it's around the waist of Austin Aries.
Yes, and spoiler alert, he may not keep that.
Whoa, you're the one spoiling stuff now.
I'll spoil TNA. I mean, everyone else does. Why shouldn't I?
Yeah, jump on the bandwagon, man. It's fun to spoil.
No, it isn't. But
you took some joy in that, though, just because it was TNA.
I did. I admit it. Well, anyway. But no, I mean, they're obviously building towards their pay-per-view or television pay-per-view, where the X Division champion can take his belt and turn it into a world title shot. Austin Aries did this successfully once in the past in TNA, and obviously could do that again here, and based on what I said, probably does.
I'm surprised they've actually kept up with that gimmick where the X Division champion can forfeit his title for a shot at the world title. I would like to see maybe even WWE try that once, maybe with the Intercontinental Championship.
Well, back in the old days, that was kind of the unofficial thing. The Intercontinental Champion was, quote-unquote, the number one contender in waiting. And we rarely saw where that actually took place. Usually they would have the Intercontinental Champion lose, and then, surprise, surprise, he would end up in a world title program not long after that. But we did see it the one time with the Warrior and Hogan, where both champions faced each other, and then, of course, Warrior, thanks to Jack Tunney, all of this, which you can find out on the WWE Network, had to surrender his title after beating Hogan, and a tournament was held, and I believe that's when Mr. Perfect became your Intercontinental Champion.
I'm trying to think. There was a match years and years ago. I think it was like somewhere between 03 and 05, maybe 06.
Okay, that's not years and years ago for me, Chris Walder, but go on.
If it's more than 10 years, it's years and years and years ago.
Not for me.
All right, our math is different. But anyways, it was...
No, our age is different, but go on.
But anyways, I believe it was when Kane and Triple H... Kane was the Intercontinental Champion, and Triple H was the World Champion, and this was when the Monday Night Raw brand was just going to have the one title. They had the Intercontinental title as their number two, but they wanted to abolish it. Kane lost to Triple H, and the Intercontinental title was just gotten rid of. That's the last time I remember a IC champion versus world champion match. Unless, I mean, they've probably done it on like Raws and SmackDowns, but neither of the belts were on the line.
Yeah, and for old school fans back at that time, that was sacrilege. To get rid of the Intercontinental Championship, that was just, people were up in arms.
Well, they've done that a couple of times.
Yeah, but to me, the Intercontinental title has so much history and is tied to so many guys that are Hall of Famers that it always has to remain. The title that needs to go, if we're chopping titles in the WWE, is the U.S. title. It is the most insignificant. They have booked it insignificantly because it's a former WCW title. And just like they put Dusty Rhodes in polka dots and did all kinds of awful things to other former WCW competitors when they came to the WWE, that title was treated like absolute garbage.
And you know, that's what WWE likes to do. Anything that has any connection to WCW, they just don't care about it. Actually, Sheamus is going to be in the Battle Royal for the IC title at Battleground, and he's somewhat teasing already that if he wins that championship and he merges the Intercontinental and the United States championships together, maybe we just see one taken out of the picture. It could be the U.S. title.
Oh, yes, because that's what the WWE needs to do. That's what's not clicking. We haven't been pushing Sheamus.
No, but he's since he already is one champion, it would just be easier. He wins the Battle Royal, he owns both belts, and you get rid of one of them.
I understand, but I'm just saying, that's what the WWE is lacking. A push for Sheamus.
We need more Sheamus.
Best sign of the night, by the way, in Montreal. We didn't talk a lot about Raw on our video podcast. Best sign of the night. Qu'est-ce que c'est, fella?
Ooh, French.
Yeah, that was very good. And I tell you, Cesaro also playing with the French crowd, I thought, was pretty nice when he told Heyman, these fans, they don't understand English, and even the French don't acknowledge them because they don't speak proper French. They speak Quebecois.
But they did pop when he was speaking French, so at least we know a majority of the crowd did know what the hell he was saying. So there's some people in Montreal who do speak French.
And apparently, JBL was right. I confirmed this with a francophone that he did in fact say that Quebec sucks. That's what he said in French.
Ooh.
So that's basically what he said. So there you go. JBL actually told the truth about something.
It's the first time for everything.
Yeah. What do you know? He actually got a fact right. Good job, JBL.
Pat on the back.
Yeah, the whole commentary team has been saved now. Not really.
Nah.
But anyway, you had teased this big news about the Dango, which is what I call Fandango now. He is just the Dango. What is going on with the Dango that we need to talk about on this podcast? Because we promised that we would.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. We mentioned that on the video podcast.
Yes, the LeBron news and Fandango clearly forgotten about.
Well, in case, I mean, this is obviously going to take place later tonight. We're filming this. We're airing this podcast
we're
right
filming
now.
This. No, no. We're filming this Thursday. We record on Friday.
Yes, we are recording this podcast on Friday, but SmackDown still has to take place later tonight. And what's going to happen, I'm not going to say the specifics. Because
no, you can, because mostly this is out. I'm not as big on SmackDown spoilers, because usually we have this out after SmackDown is done. So go ahead.
It's because I forget the exact scenario.
I remember what
exactly happens. The fact of the matter is, at the end of the show, we're going to see Layla and Summer Rae both turn on Fandango, and they're going to form somewhat of a mini Divas alliance.
Oh my god, we've seen this before.
Where Fandango gets played by both the ladies, and which makes absolutely no sense.
That's the absolute wrong booking. That's like backwards to how this should be.
That's what I'm saying. It makes no sense.
I've been saying for weeks Fandango should leave both of them and get another girl. This is wrong.
They're beating him to the punch.
Did WWE not learn from PMS that this gimmick does not sell? Because that's what this is a copy of.
Well, we're getting it anyway. And it's like they just literally dropped the Summer Rae Dolph Ziggler alliance. And now they're just going to go with, okay, well, what do you even call Summer Rae and Layla? Do you call them like...
PMS 2.
Summer Lay?
Wow. No, we call them PMS 2. Do you remember PMS or...
Jacqueline and Terry, was that it? And Sean Stasiak, was that the three of them?
It eventually was Sean Stasiak, but before that,
they actually
messed around with Mark Henry, and
they
got Mark Henry in a rather compromising position, and it did not go well for him, as I recall.
I'm sure the writers think that we just totally forgot about that storyline and that little fact.
Well, no, I'm not going to. This is way back in the Attitude Era, so I'm not slamming the WWE for bringing back an old angle.
Right.
I mean, heck, we do it in wrestling all the time. But that said, this was not exactly a positive angle, would be my point. So what is going to make it a positive angle in 2014? I don't really know.
I guess it's just meant to draw more heat for Fandango. He's a womanizer. He's all about, you know, the TNA, I guess. And
no, but he's a better womanizer if he leaves both of them.
But who would he pick?
Anybody. I don't care. They have enough divas to go around.
God,
if you haven't noticed.
If you want to draw heat for Fandango, all you have to do is align him with Cameron. Or Eva Marie.
Yeah, I can go with Cameron, Eva Marie. There you go.
What a trinity of evil that would be. Fandango, Cameron, and Eva Marie.
Yes. The Cameron makes more sense, though, because he needs someone who can actually dance, and as it was proven on Total Divas,
yeah.
That is clearly not.
Yeah, it's not her
Eva
strike.
Marie. And you can get that now on the WWE Network, which is for free this week, and you can see what we are talking about, how bad the dancing is of one Eva Marie.
No, don't waste your time. If you have a free access to the network this week, the last thing you should be checking out is Total Divas.
I feel like we're being a commercial for the free week of the WWE Network this
week. Are we
going
to be dressing up as stewardesses like the Bellas and start promoting
that's
thing
not happening.
A special commercial?
No, if you want to dress up like a stewardess next week for the video podcast, be my guest.
I hear they get paid pretty good, so.
So, you know, if you want to see Walder, dress up as a female stewardess for the next video podcast. If you agree to come watch it live, maybe Walder will do it.
Maybe. Just maybe.
No, the people say it. I should put a poll up on the site, and then we could just make this official.
That won't bode well for me.
Speaking of which, we have added polls to the site. That was a not-so-cheap segue to that. We had one up on who will be the WWE champion heading into SummerSlam. Not surprisingly, John Cena, 57% of the people believe John Cena will be the champion. And we had that poll up prior to the match when he won the title. And then I think once he did, that just increased his lead in that regard. The latest poll we have up is, do you want to see one Ronda Rousey appear in the WWE? Surprisingly, people are not as excited about this as me, and I am very upset about it. So,
well, because she would have to probably join the Divas division that would just ruin her as a person.
No, so. No. I'm not. I didn't say wrestle. I just said appear. Because wrestling is not happening. Dana White is not agreeing to Ronda Rousey in any kind of a wrestling match in the WWE. That will not happen. There is no way on earth that's happening.
We might see that with Rashad Evans. There's the stories coming out that he actually wants to join WWE as a full-time guy, no?
Yes, that is out there as well. But he is, for UFC fans, they will know this, he is pretty much on the downside of his career. Ronda Rousey is clearly the hottest thing in MMA and the UFC right now. If people want to argue and dispute that, we're not really an MMA show, so whatever. But I think, without question, I think we're the perfect people to say that, because we're not huge, at least, I don't know, we've never really talked about this on the show. Are you a big UFC fan or no?
My interest has dwindled just because a lot of the guys that I would pay to see or hit up a bar and go watch, like the GSPs and the Brock Lesnars and the Anderson Silvas, they're either not with the company or they're hurt, or they don't compete as regularly anymore. I mean, right now it's all about John Jones and Ronda Rousey, and I'm a fan of Rousey's, not so much Jones. So, you know, because of that, it's just I have no real urge to go out and watch UFC.
That was a very long-winded answer, Chris Walder. It was
That's just a simple
yes or no.
How long have we been doing this? I give long answers. That's what I do.
That's why the podcast is so long every week. Folks, it's not me, it's Chris.
I make James' life so difficult,
yes,
by giving these long-winded answers.
Yes, can we get to the point? The point is, we are both casual MMA UFC fans. And as such, I think
casual.
We are better to judge Ronda Rousey's impact than people immersed in the MMA world, because they're on the inside. Just like our views on professional wrestling might be somewhat slanted because we're inside the bubble. Whereas in the UFC, we are not. Anyway, getting to our poll results as we are speaking. They may change when you are listening right now, but 7 people, half of our respondents so far, think they want to see Ronda Rousey appear in the WWE. two people a flat out no, and five people just don't care.
Maybe it's because they don't really know her. The people that don't care.
Are you serious?
She's a pretty big star.
How could
but
you
some
not know Ronda Rousey in the last 2 years in this world?
There's not a lot of people that still watch MMA. And I know she's like one of the faces of the company
She's transcended that. I mean, she's booked for like 3 upcoming movies in Hollywood. I think people have heard her name by now.
Maybe in the Expendables.
My mom knows who Ronda Rousey is.
Oh, well, in that case, I mean, who are we kidding?
But I'm just saying, like, if my mom knows who she is, that's really tapping into your mainstream culture.
Well, you're a big Rousey fan. Have you ever mentioned to her in the past, or?
I may have, so that might be a reason. You're right, Chris Wilder. Okay, fine.
Thinking logically here.
Just destroy my point. Way to go. Okay. Anyway, moving on. That is our poll. You have 2 more days to vote on that. So if you are a Ronda Rousey fan and want to see her in the WWE in some form or fashion, along with her four horsewomen, by all means, go vote on our poll. We are keeping these polls going, and what we'll do every time we finish a poll, we'll leave the old one up, and then a new one will be at the top, and you can vote and make your voice heard, and it's all part of what we're trying to do now. We've kind of reached that first stage of our growth here at Condo on the Moon, where we built ourselves up a nice little audience. Now we're trying to engage you people and bring you in and make you a part of what we're doing here with the website, with the podcast, with video podcasts, and it's slow and steady, but we're attempting to reach out to you, the people.
That's what it's all about, the fans, the readers. We're doing this for them.
Yeah, well, no one reads you because you do all the fun stuff. We covered that on the video podcast.
Exactly. No one wants to read my stuff.
No, you're too busy writing about Raptors Summer League, which starts in 2 hours.
That's true.
Are you excited? Raptors Lakers Summer League action. Chris Wilder has to be covering the Raptors and Lakers Summer League coming up soon. So we have limited amount of time. Sometime. Actually, we got a lot of time. And we have briefly touched on Raw a little bit in this podcast. We didn't at all in our video podcast. So Raw in Montreal, a huge disappointment to me. I think you had a hot crowd in Montreal, and you did little to nothing with it.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I was excited for the Bret Hart segment, because it's just nice to see what kind of a reaction he gets in Montreal, a place where probably one of the biggest moments in professional wrestling history took place.
See, I'm tired of Bret Hart. Why every time when we come up to Canada do we have to trot out Bret Hart? Not just on Raw, he was on SmackDown this week too, you're going to get to see him. He was on Main Event, for God's sakes. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm over the whole Bret Hart thing. He's back. That's great. Everyone's saying kumbaya. Him and HBK got to shake hands. They got to make some videos. Bret Hart got to make some money. Great. Everyone's happy again. I'm over it. I just don't care anymore about Bret Hart. That said, the segment they did do on Monday Night Raw I thought was tremendous.
Oh, so now you're changing your tune.
No, I just thought the actual usage of him this time around was tremendous, because of course we got to see Damian Sandow, and he got to play the roles on Raw. He played the role of Bret the Hitman Hart, with Bret the Hitman Hart in the ring, which made it all the more funny, and Bret ends up decking poor Damian. But then, for those of you, and I don't know how many of our audience actually watch Main Event, which is exclusive to the network. And I'll admit, even with the free network, I did not check out Main Event this week. I am not that obsessed that I need to watch the Main Event. See, I remember this thing called Saturday Night's Main Event, which you can actually now start to get on the network, at least the early years. That was a little bit better than the Main Event. Anyway, on that show, Chris Jericho had Bret Hart again on the highlight reel, and Damian Sandow once again interrupted and came out as the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
How could they have not had that on Monday Night Raw? That's what people were calling for. They wanted to stand out with HBK on Raw, not our main event.
Oh, no, I think it was great, great on both shows. The main event was taped, obviously, in Ottawa, and...
Then why not save the Bret Hart thing for Ottawa? Why not have Sandow come out in the purple and pink in Ottawa, and then you have HBK? God, the crowd would have gone ballistic over that, but it would have been hilarious.
Either way, I thought both were fine, and I thought it was okay. But, you know, Damian Sandow obviously has become a diversive character, but we didn't mention this, actually, on the video podcast, and we should mention this. On the Toronto House show this week, prior to Raw, Santino Marella has called it a career as far as in-ring competitor, and I think that is a direct link to why we are seeing all of this craziness with Damian Sandow, because I think he is, in fact, the new Santino Marella.
I'm kind of torn on that. I could see why you would think that, because, you know, WWE always needs that kind of goofy character. You know, he's entertaining, but at the same time, how often was Santino being used when he was healthy? You know, he was doing his little shtick with Emma, he was wrestling against Fandango, but he wasn't doing these little silly segments anymore. But
over his entire career, he was used a ton.
Yeah, but over the past year, how often has that been?
Well, no, but he was injured for a great part of that time, then he came back, and obviously he's been injured again. So that was part of it, and I think filling in that role for Santino at the time was obviously 3MB, and they're no longer around. So you got Damian Sandow.
I think it just has more so to do with the fact that, you know, Damian Sandow is too talented not to be using, and you just can't really put him into a program right now because there's no one for him to work with. And people are speculating, saying, you know what, this is WWE's way of burying him, and I think that's a load of crap because he's getting on TV every week and he's getting a reaction, and that's more so than a lot of people backstage can be saying right now.
Now there's
guys like, you know, like, not to cut you off, but there's guys like Zack Ryder, there's, you know, Zack Ryder is obviously the first one that comes to mind, but there's people that would kill to have time like that on television.
Really? Do we really need to see Zack Ryder?
No, but he's a perfect example of someone who had his little run. You know, he had the mid-card title, and he was getting over. He had his YouTube show, but then he just kind of disappeared. But wouldn't he want to be in Sandow's shoes right now?
Apparently he wants to be the bunny.
Let's not talk about that.
Maybe he even is the bunny. No, that's not true. But here is the money question. I don't know if they're on the schedule coming up soon or not, but assuming the WWE rolls into Miami shortly, does Sandow come out as? Does he come out as LeBron James?
Oh my God.
Or The Rock?
We're doing this.
Come on, who is it?
It's LeBron. Of course it's LeBron.
What, he doesn't come out as The Rock?
No, he's not coming out as The Rock.
There was...
Not anymore.
No, but this was my cheap way of segueing into this, actually.
Okay. Because
there was a lot of indirect references to one Dwayne Johnson on the show on Monday. Notice that?
Do tell. I didn't catch that.
There was about three of them where I don't have them written down or anything, but I just was like, oh, wow, they just referenced The Rock there. Someone talked in the third person. I forget who that was.
I'm not sure.
There, someone was doing your bit where they were talking in the third person like The Rock.
Yeah, I don't do that anymore, okay?
Were banned from doing that.
That was all that too, but I had to outgrow it myself.
Anyway, but someone was talking in the third person like The Rock. There was a reference on commentary that referenced The Rock, and then there was a third one, and I just thought... Wow, that was odd. There was a lot of little shout-outs to Dwayne. I could go back and like search on my Twitter account, but we really don't have time for that because I mentioned them at the time.
Well, speaking of The Rock, the WWE just released their first WrestleMania 31 poster, and he's the focal point. He's on it with Dave Bautista and Brock Lesnar, leading, you know, one to believe that he might be competing on the card.
Wow, that is interesting.
I don't know why they would showcase him like that unless he was scheduled to be there, or that they
had
dedication.
And I just mentioned there was these three subtle references. Maybe Twain is coming back.
It would be a nice coup for the show.
And, you know, who knows? Maybe.
No idea who he goes up against, though.
Maybe I know who.
Oh, who? Do tell.
Well, there's a certain guy in Chicago, Illinois, that hasn't been in a main event at WrestleMania that I would think if he fought Dwayne again and got his win back, would be interested in that match.
Are you serious?
Could happen.
It could. Would it be the main event?
It definitely would be second from the top or the top, depending on how it goes. But obviously, the plan originally for The Rock was to face Brock Lesnar. That was supposed to happen at WrestleMania 30.
Yeah.
It did not. Now the plan has totally changed because Brock Lesnar is, at least in theory, aligned to face Roman Reigns on that show. You can't have John Cena face The Rock. We've seen that. We do not need three times in a lifetime. We don't.
Oh, I had some fun with that when they did that again at WrestleMania 29. Once in a lifetime is actually twice in 2 years.
I can honestly say no one wants to see the rubber match of that.
No one.
So, if that's the case, who the heck would you put The Rock with? And I think the answer is CM Punk. And I'll even take it a step further, Chris Walder. I'll even take it a step further.
Go for it.
What if we could not only do that, we could have Stone Cold Steve Austin as the referee of said match, and what if he screwed over one CM Punk in that match?
I think you're just riding the high of this whole LeBron thing, and you're just thinking, you know what, LeBron, no one knew it could happen, but it happened anyway, so let's go outside the box here, and I mean really outside the box, and book The Rock versus Punk with Austin as the referee for WrestleMania 31. I love your enthusiasm, but there's absolutely no way that's happening.
And WrestleMania 32 is The Rock and Austin in Texas Stadium, because that has to be the main event of that show.
The Rock and Austin or Punk and Austin?
Punk and Austin, sorry.
Oh.
Did I say Rock and Austin?
You said Rock and Austin.
Punk and Austin.
How about a rubber match between
So, in review, CM Punk does not get his main event at WrestleMania 31, but he does get back in the company, and he gets the semi-main event, and he's guaranteed the main event in WrestleMania 32.
So you're pulling a Chris Sheridan right now. You're saying something that no one else believes, but you know what? You will be the only one right when it actually does happen, and all credit will go back to you.
Yeah, maybe. The one thing I am certain of, I'm not certain of the 31 stuff at all, but I think with what's out there in the WWE landscape, if they are serious about going to Texas Stadium for WrestleMania 32, the only main event that makes sense is CM Punk versus Austin.
Agreed.
I have said that ever since it was announced that they were going to Texas Stadium. People had said originally that was going to be the place The Undertaker retired. Well, that ship has sailed, it would appear. The Undertaker is not coming back. The streak is dead. Now they need a marquee match. And I'm sorry, John Cena versus Roman Reigns ain't it.
That's John Cena versus Roman Reigns. Wow. Yeah, that's not the marquee matchup, and, you know, you're right. The fact that it is in Dallas, it would just make sense for them to at least try and get Austin to compete, but him and Punk, there's a lot of working pieces and a lot of things that would need to be done.
Oh, there's a lot of money that needs to exchange hands. Make no mistake about that. A lot of money needs to exchange hands for this to happen.
We're talking Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh buying Chris Style at the club money, okay? We're talking the big bucks.
Yeah, it's interesting. But, you know, hey, it is that kind of day. You know, it is that kind of day. And Austin, I tell you, Austin seems more determined never to come back, though, now. Like, when you listen to him lately, he would be, in all honesty, I think he's the harder part of the equation.
He seems pretty content doing what he's doing right now. Yeah, he has a lot of TV gigs he's working on, and obviously his podcast. And would anyone really blame him if he never got back in a ring?
No. And I think, you know, it's just that's the match that's out there. Like, when you look at all the matches that we've had, and we've kind of had this theme all week about the WWE Network and being able to go back into the past and look at things. But that Punk versus Austin screams WrestleMania main event.
It does.
It's the one match out there that I think casual wrestling fans would come back for. It would capture the imagination of anyone who's ever been a wrestling fan. And that's the one thing that I think is kind of lacking now. Nothing really captures our imagination like it used to. That's the one debate I've been having in my head all week. I've been watching old Attitude Era stuff and old 80s stuff, and I'm like, what was so compelling about this that isn't here now in 2014? And I was trying to wrap my head around it, and I was going through all the various things of how you would determine this. Go back and watch any 80s wrestling card you want to. It certainly isn't work rate. I mean, there were a few great workers back in the day, Randy Savage being one of them. But by and large, the amount of workers that you had on those 80s card were few and far between. So that's not what they had going for them. What they had in the 80s was clearly over-the-top characters that we're starting to see more of now. I mean, we are going back to the 80s a little bit. Because Rusev is clearly part cartoon character.
Yes.
I mean, there's no question he is a throwback to... I mean, they got to bring back Nikolai Volkoff to sing the anthem. That has to happen. I don't know what Nikolai's health situation is like these days, but if he is the least bit healthy, come on, WWE. That has to happen at some point.
Such an obvious connection.
Yes, and we do it, the match that he squashes Kurt Angle to come back to the WWE, the one match that Kurt Angle will have after he leaves TNA high and dry, like everyone leaves TNA high and dry.
Multi-million dollar deal to lose in 3 minutes to Rusev.
Probably not. I don't think Kurt Angle, and we discussed this off-air, I believe, last night, I don't think Kurt Angle is... all that keen to be picked up by the WWE. If he is, that's why he is.
I think he definitely wants to come back to
WWE. Oh, he wants to. So
yeah.
Does Bully Ray, by the way, who's doing promotion for TNA and begging the WWE to call him on the phone. But they're not calling. And they're not calling Kurt either.
Well, there's not really a dire need for either of them. It would just be nice for nostalgia purposes.
I don't even know what the nostalgia purposes is at this point.
The greatest tag team ever.
And you're getting one of them.
The biggest stars in the company at one time.
Yeah, but Bubba's not talking about bringing D-Von with him. He's saying he would come back.
Oh, you know for sure that if they ever reached an agreement with Bully, they would have to involve D-Von.
No, he was talking about coming back as his singles character from TNA.
Oh,
or a version of it.
That wouldn't work.
No, it wouldn't.
It works in TNA, and he's a talented guy. He's one of the best things they have. But that wouldn't translate over to WWE, especially with the, you know, be a star campaign. You want Bully Ray to be at the top of your roster. Like,
like the WWE follows that, though. That's not the reason. It's just, he's yesterday's news. And no one cares.
And he still can bring value, but just not to WWE. He's
really? Yeah, he's packing on those ratings at Spike TV there, isn't he?
Well, I'm not saying you're going to build your company around him, but he's a glue guy.
He's a glue guy.
He is a glue guy. You know what a glue guy is, James?
I do, and no, he's not.
I know you don't watch a lot of basketball anymore, so I got to make sure you
I
have
I do watch basketball.
Down.
I'm going to watch the Raptors and the Lakers Summer League game and revel in the fact that I do not have to cover this and care about it. But anyway, back to the point at hand, which was what's missing in 2014 that they had in the Attitude Era, that they had in the 80s, that we don't have now. And to me, it's just there were more moments that I remember. And what I mean by that is if I go back and I look at the last 10 years in wrestling, I struggle to come up with moments that I remember. There's a few of them. I mean, the match between Punk and John Cena is the first one that jumps in my brain. 2011 Money in the Bank, I think that was fantastic. I think it was probably the best match in the last 10 years. And that actually is praising John Cena because he was half of that match. Punk's pipe bomb promo obviously is up there. But the list is a lot shorter. Like, I find when I go back and reminisce, I can tell you every single Savage WrestleMania match there was. I can't tell you that for CM Punk off the top of my head. I can't tell you that for John Cena off the top of my head. I can't tell you that for any of the stars that are currently in the WWE, for Daniel Bryan, for any of them. And I think, you know, there was something more memorable about those matches in that time period. And the same goes for Hulk Hogan, who I don't like. But I can tell you, every single person he's faced at WrestleMania, I mean, they were bigger than life. And I think with the Attitude Era, you don't necessarily remember it, but you always remember how, from top to bottom, how great those cards were. Like, WrestleMania 17, we mentioned it. We didn't talk a lot about WrestleManias when we were going through the WWE Network. But WrestleMania 17 is, without a shadow of a doubt, the best WrestleMania in the history of WrestleManias. Probably, top to bottom, the best wrestling card that has ever been put on in North America that I can think of.
Yes, it's certainly up there. I mean, I could come up with probably a couple of other WrestleManias that deserve to be in the discussion. But I agree with you. I mean, wrestling now, they tend to play it by the book. They don't take as many chances. And, you know, during the Attitude Era, when guys like Austin and Triple H and The Rock and Undertaker, we were all very fortunate to be watching WWE during a time where those four guys were the focal point of the program, and it was almost as if every other week there was like that bombshell moment that it was like water cooler talk. You would talk to your friends and you would bring up what happened on Monday Night Raw. And now these days you're just like, especially during this social media era where everything, we just blab everything amongst each other on Twitter and Facebook, and now we're just merely impressed when Raw is passable. And when something, it's just watchable, you know? That's when it's like a highlight for us, when it's actually, we can sit there for 3 hours and enjoy ourselves, because that's not the case every week, and it's disappointing.
And actually, Court Bauer made a tweet. He's a former guest on this show, and he made a tweet about people have to stop accepting mediocrity, or something to that effect. He said, you know, you can never be complacent and like accept mediocrity. And that's what you'll end up getting if you do. If people aren't... The WWE, ever since WCW was taken over by them, who's really pressed them to be good?
Besides the fans, I mean, the only thing I could really think of off the top is just the Daniel Bryan movement. They basically forced WWE's hand with that.
Yeah, but I mean, it hasn't pressed them to change the product. I mean, that's one of the things when we talk about CM Punk and why CM Punk always becomes this focal point for wrestling fans today is, whether you like Punk, whether you hate him, whether you think he's a jerk or not, he represented change. He wanted to change wrestling, whether that was part of his character or the reality of things. People associate CM Punk with the change that they want too, and haven't gotten from wrestling today.
And we got small changes during that time, and Punk was the facilitator of that.
But didn't we really? Because Punk was never booked as the main event. He was never treated like the top star in this company. It was still John Cena. And Punk never... It was almost to appease those fans rather than to highlight the guy. And I mean, Punk had his 434-day reign, which, you know, is great and all of that, but, you know, at the end of the day, he wasn't booked like the top guy in this sport. And the top guy in this sport is still John Cena. And he's with the championship right now.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. The changes that were made were small and cosmetic, but they were still changes. Like, I mean, the only thing I could remember off the top, there was like this photo that was circulating online where all of the champions posed together, and Punk was WWE champion, Daniel Bryan was world champion, Zack Ryder and Beth Phoenix and Air Boom, you know, some of the top workers in the company were all holding major titles. And then, you know, other than that, you're right. CM Punk wasn't the top guy, although he was the champion. He was WWE champion for over a year, but he was never the main event. He was even booked behind a John Cena versus John Laurinaitis feud. That's because WWE felt, you know what, Cena's the moneymaker. He's our main event guy. We'll just keep him in that spot and see if Punk can ever live up to that and build up to that. But he never did, at least in their opinion.
Yeah, it's just we just don't, like, and maybe this is me old, being an old fuddy-duddy, I don't know, but I just don't have the memories of shows like I do when it comes to the Attitude Era and when it comes to the 80s. Nothing stands out. It's almost like this whole kind of, and it's not as bad in WWE, TNA is the worst at this whole crash booking mentality, where all of a sudden it's a pay-per-view, there's all these matches thrown at you, the pay-per-view happens, and then it's over. There's no real build to anything. There's nothing that is memorable about it, and one pay-per-view just kind of blends into the next, and not as bad, obviously, in WWE, but I almost get that feeling in WWE sometimes. It's like one pay-per-view blends into the next. I mean, we have Battleground coming up. Does anyone really care? I mean, everyone's already moved on to SummerSlam because we know for a fact, well, we think we know for a fact that we're getting Brock Lesnar versus John Cena for the world title. And, I mean, we're already, depending on how deep down the rabbit hole you go, some people are already at the point, oh, we're getting Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the title at WrestleMania 31, which we talked about earlier on this show. So, like, you know, nothing stands out anymore. It's like, that was the thing. Not the Raw last week, but the Raw 2 weeks ago. It, for a little window of time, it felt like the Attitude Era.
Just a little bit, though.
Yeah, and it's like, it was like this tease of, that's what I want out of you, WWE. And obviously, you can't have people coming back every week like they had there. But there was that element of what was going to happen next. And I think you can still have that. And they don't do nearly enough of that anymore.
But we didn't get that this week, though, and it's a shame. It kind of failed to live up to the momentum that 2 weeks ago, you know, started. And now we're just kind of getting back into that complacent spot where we're just getting the same basic three-hour show, not a lot of chances, some good matches, but nothing that you couldn't just not watch the show and then not really miss anything.
It's just, like, I almost feel like, why didn't you wait a week with everything they had planned?
Or just even spread it out.
No. They should have waited a week because,
well,
as good as that Hartford crowd was, if all the stuff that happened in Hartford happened in Montreal, oh my God.
The pops would have been even, I mean, they were
10 times.
Hartford, but Montreal would have taken it to another level.
It would have been 10 times. Like, it would have just been something else. The other thing, too, and I don't know the reason for this. Why is it the Authority never bothers to come to Canada anymore?
Yeah, I don't get that.
That bugs me.
Passport issues?
I think they can get into Canada. I think they're actually there.
I'm like, just being sarcastic. Yeah.
No, but like, why don't we get to see them on the show? In fact, why is Canada treated the way it is nowadays? Because that might be another thing. Maybe this is my patriotism coming through, too. Because back in the Attitude Era, Toronto was one of the biggest markets for WWE. It was huge. I mean, they had the largest Raw ever, I think, still to this day, at Sky Dome in Toronto. And they built that thing up for, like, God, 3 months on television? Like, it was huge.
Was that the one during the Attitude Era?
Yeah, it was. It,
where, like, I think the show ended with Vince McMahon looking down on Austin when he was in the corner or something.
I
remember that pretty specifically.
I don't know if it was that show. I don't think that was the show, but it was, like, a 3 month build-up. It was actually a rare, weird thing because, for some reason, Raw wasn't on in the U.S. live on that Monday. We got it live here in Canada, and
yeah,
they showed it on Saturday, it was the one time Raw has been on a Saturday night on USA, mm-hmm. and it was just, it was amazing. And another thing, and I talked about this in an article I wrote for Between the Ropes this week, the only article I wrote for Between the Ropes this week, which I apologize to them, I have been immersed in the network and all sorts of things, and not been writing as much as I normally do. That said, I talked about an event that happened in Toronto as well called The Big Event, which you can go check on the WWE Network. We are shills for the network this week. I apologize. But The Big Event was really the precursor to WrestleMania 3 because the WWE booked an outdoor show at the CNE in the old Exhibition Stadium, which no longer exists. And they had over 50,000 people in there on a cold summer night to watch Hulk Hogan take on Paul Orndorff. And when they got that crowd, they knew they could fill the Pontiac Silverdome.
I enjoy these little history lessons, James.
They are. Well, I feel like I should, like, it is one of the strengths I have as a wrestling fan for people, that I lived through all this, and it kind of, you know, it's lessons that we can learn for the modern product today. Obviously, not everything would apply from the 80s and the Attitude Era for today. I get that. The world has changed. And if you look back at some of those shows, you cringe at some of the things that happened in terms of language and just the way people were treated was not something that we could get away with in 2014. But a lot of the stuff you can use still today, and it just isn't used as effectively in my view.
No, you're spot on, though. I agree with you.
There you go. And we agree, and hopefully our audience is somewhat in agreement with us, and they will come back and check us out now 2 times a week in video form on Thursdays. Get your questions, hashtag AskMachoMoon, that's AskMachoMoon, and we'll take your questions on Thursday on our video podcast, which is 8 p.m., check it out on the website condoonthemoon.com, and that will direct you to YouTube or Google Plus, and you can interact with us and join the show live every 8 p.m. for an hour. We are your lead-in to NXT Wrestling if you're a smart fan, TNA Wrestling if you're not as smart a fan, or you're in Canada and you can't get the network and you have nothing better to do than watch TNA. Yeah.
God, so vindictive.
We're not getting any TNA guests on this show, clearly.
Probably not.
Clearly that's not happening, so...
But things are only getting bigger and better from here, though. We've got the video podcast, we'll hopefully get some bigger and better interviews down the road, and, you know, some great articles by you, of course, over on the site. So.
Yes, because Chris Walder refuses to write for us people.
I demand the big bucks.
Yeah, right.
The loonies and toonies. All that jazz.
Yeah, well, you know, get that from the Bleacher Report.
I love you, Bleacher Report. Don't fire me.
They don't listen to this podcast. Don't worry about it. Anyway, on that happy note, I once worked for the Bleacher Report, too.
Yes, you did.
So maybe that's why that joke was in
there. I've actually seen your profile on there not too long ago.
There you go. How many reads am I up to? How many of those little metal things do I have?
It's all about the medals.
That's right.
Metals.
Yeah, we don't have medals here at Condo on the Moon. We just have content, and hopefully good content, for you to enjoy on professional wrestling. Mostly about Ring of Honor, WWE. And, hey, I've said it. If you want to ask TNA questions on the Thursday show, you're more than welcome to. And if you want to prove me wrong and tell me what a wonderful company TNA is, by all means, do your best.
And here come the questions.
Yeah, no, I one time had my whole Raw experience ruined by a guy trying to defend Dixie Carter.
That sucks.
It was, well, no, it was fun, actually, because he was...
That's a hard thing to do.
He was actually very stupid, so it was quite amusing, actually.
I'm calling now.
Well, he was. He was very dumb. And it got me a follower, because someone saw how stupid he was and followed me. So it all worked out well. Speaking of which, we thank all of our Twitter followers at Condo on the Moon. We passed a significant number this week, Chris Walder. I don't know if you are aware of this.
We've at least hit the 500 followers mark.
Yes, we passed 500 this week. That is true.
Yeah, I keep up to date on our social media, James.
Yeah, you just don't run it.
Because you got that in the bag, my friend.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you won't write for the website, you won't even do our social media for a day. Like, we should have a Walder day.
I'm just here to absorb a check and just bask in your glory and just make a name for myself by riding your coattails.
Yes, so, actually, on Twitter right now, retweet if you want CM Punk to come back and win the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Hold on, I've got something to do, Chris Walder.
Or join LeBron James in Cleveland and be his backup small forward. That's always a possibility, too. Don't rule that out.
CM Punk not going to...
Can he knock down a J?
No, I don't think he can play basketball.
He's a hockey guy.
He's a hockey guy. I don't think he can play hockey either, though. He can run a marathon, though.
That's true.
No, it's true. He literally can.
On racing.
He has. So, you know, professional.
I know he has, yeah.
Yeah. And the crazy thing about that, which we're not breaking news here because it was on his DVD, Best in the World, but came off an Australian trip and ran the marathon. How insane is that?
He's a physical specimen. I don't know if that's the case now, though, because he's been away from the ring so long. I don't know if he's still...
Are you kidding? He looks great. CM Punk has never looked better. Like that's the one...
To be fair, there were some pictures that leaked a little after he and AJ got married, and they were running on the beach, and it looks like Punk had gained a little bit of weight.
No, I think he looks great. Like, he has never looked more happy, and that's the one thing.
He's happy. That's different than being healthy.
Well, no, he looks happy. He looks healthy. He doesn't have those bags under his eyes anymore. Although he does claim that he's been an insomniac on Twitter lately, that where he's been watching, like, infomercials in the History Channel. You know, hey, I mean, bottom line, here's the one thing, and this is where all my CM Punk nonsense kind of hits some reality. If CM Punk is legitimately happy not being in the WWE and doesn't want to be, I'm okay if he doesn't ever come back.
Yeah, and that should be the case with everybody. It's his life. If he doesn't want to be there, so be it.
That being said, I think this company needs him back.
Yes.
In a major way.
Please.
And I think it would be far too tempting at some point for him not to come back.
Right. But they would have to throw some decent change at him.
He's going to get a good deal.
When does his contract expire? Next week?
I don't know. No one seems to know this date.
I'm hearing the 17th from a lot of people.
But I think he's already had it expire, and no one said anything.
I think they would probably broadcast that on the site, though, wouldn't they?
No, because why would you want it out there? You don't want it known.
You don't need to make it a headline story, but you can make... They've done it before, but they just take out little blurbs at the bottom and say, CM Punk is released, or contract is expired, or whatever.
Okay, if we're going to go down this rabbit hole, let's go all the way down the rabbit hole. If his contract has expired, why would neither party talk about it? Well, they could be talking.
That is true.
That could be happening.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
God, we can't go a podcast without getting in depth about this guy. For someone who's not even with the company, we just love to blab. And people in general, the CM Punk train is not stopping anytime soon.
But it's because, let's face it, and I have documented proof of this, whenever I write an article that includes some reference to CM Punk, it invariably does better than if I wrote an article about insert name here.
Rusev.
Yes. I mean, I could write a wonderful article about Rusev and compare him to Nikolai Volkov, and if I write, oh, did you hear CM Punk did such and such, guaranteed that article gets at least 500 to 1,000 more readers. It just does, because you mentioned CM Punk, and we talked at the very beginning. This whole podcast started, and we're going to bring everything full circle. Randy Savage came on here and accused a bunch of people about being hypocrites. And in a sense, a lot of people are when it comes to CM Punk too. Because there's a lot of people that claim, oh, they hate him now and he left and blah, blah, blah. And a lot of people claim they don't want to hear about CM Punk anymore and they don't want to hear CM Punk chants. But the proof is in the pudding. Whenever there's news about CM Punk, whether it be on CondoOnTheMoon.com, whether it be on the Bleacher Report, whether it be TMZ...
or WrestlingRumors.net. Let's plug my site for a second.
All right, fine. Whether it be there, I got news for you. The numbers don't lie. People check it out. And part of that might be a lot of people that have checked out on the product and just want to know when Punk's coming back, because maybe that's when they're coming back.
Well, good luck with that, fans.
I'm just saying.
Get your tents out, you know, start a fire. It's going to be a while.
I don't know if it's going to be a while.
Well, that's where we differ, man. I'm so over the CM Punk stuff. I could care less at this point. Would I love to see him back? Sure. Why not? He was always one of my favorites, but it's like, okay, I'm just over it. There's no point of holding on to some sort of hope that it really isn't there.
But I've always maintained, and I have not been one of these people that have said, oh, he's coming back here, he's coming back there, he's coming back this point. I've never said that. I've always maintained this is the time, right now. Because when that contract is up, the rule book gets thrown out the window, and CM Punk can start anew and negotiate from square one. And the only thing preventing that is if the WWE would be going to roll over that contract like they have with Rey Mysterio. But no one seems to think they're going to do that.
Well, we don't know for sure what's going on behind the scenes. All we know is that the people that do know are Triple H and Phil Brooks, and it's probably going to stay that way. So let's just play this thing out, see what happens, and see if he makes any surprise appearances before the end of 2014. You never know. I'll give you that. You never know.
Well, I mean, the fact that no one's talking is perhaps the loudest voice in the room. Silence can be louder than talking. And it is pretty darn silent when it comes to anything about CM Punk from either side of the equation.
It could just be because management just doesn't want to acknowledge him because of the bad breakup they had, and Punk just doesn't give a damn anymore. He just wants to move on.
But
that could be a possibility.
But they have to know with AJ Lee back in the fold that that's not realistic.
This was never about her, though.
It is about her.
No, it's not.
It's going to be about her. Every time she comes out to the ring, are they not going to chant CM Punk?
That's
going to
die down so fast.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Last. No, it's because AJ Lee has passion about what she does. Punk lost that, and that's why he's gone. She can still do what she has to do. She can make a ton of money being one of the faces of the division. Let her do that, and fans will just get over the whole, yeah, she's married to CM Punk. Wow, that's such a big deal. Whoop-de-doo. Let's chant his name every time she's out here. It's not like they chant it during her matches. They chant it as soon as she gets out there, and then it's over with.
Yeah, but it's not going away. And let's face it.
Well, she's been back 2 weeks. Let's give it some time.
She did wear her wedding ring out to the ring, too, by the way.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like...
with the Pepsi sign on it.
It does not have a Pepsi sign on it. But, I mean, so, you know, who knows? I don't know. It's just, it's all out there.
Now I'm going to be thinking about CM Punk when I should be thinking about LeBron James and the Toronto Raptors, their Summer League stuff. We're getting on the Punk train, and that train is going off kilter here.
Who knows? I'm just saying. I'm throwing it out there. I think...
fair enough.
I think at some point we're going to find out what happens here, because I think once this contract gets dissolved or resolved or whatever, that will be your answer. If there's not a new agreement by the end of the summer, then I agree. CM Punk's probably not coming back for a long, long time.
And we'll end it on that then.
I think we will. Remember, Thursday, we have a new show, a video show, where we probably won't talk about CM Punk again. And you can follow us at Condo on the Moon and all of that. And we will give you a preview of this very podcast for next week and let you know what's up. Maybe we'll have some guests. Maybe we won't. I don't know. It is all up in the air this week as I have been vegging out with the WWE Network and briefly interrupted by LeBron James coming back to Cleveland as people in Cleveland try and figure out how you unburn a jersey.
It's hard. I've tried.
It doesn't work too well. So the next time you're thinking about burning your LeBron James jersey or your CM Punk jersey or shirt, think again, because you know you can't take that back.
And of course, just to close things off, be sure to use the hashtag AskMachoMoon on Twitter, because we want your questions. We want to answer them live on the video podcast. Might even get some here on the audio podcast. You never know. But please interact with us, because this show is about you, the fans.
It is. We try and make it that way anyway. So with that said, we thank you. Go check out our video podcast if you didn't get a chance. It's up there on the website, and we will be back next Thursday and Friday talking more professional wrestling.